Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Well, the conversation turns to health and wellness, and we're putting the focus on the thyroid today as we remind listeners what role it plays in the body and what happens when things go wrong. For such a small gland, it sure can have a huge impact on one's health and well-being. So to tell us more, it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Fatima Hussain, who is a specialist surgeon with a particular interest in thyroid health, standing by to answer my questions and yours. Remember, if you would like to know something, please feel free to use our WhatsApp line 0725671567 or give us a call on 0214460567. Fatima, welcome. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Bubba, for having me, to you and your listeners.
Thank you. What is the thyroid, and can you briefly tell us what role it plays in the human body?
So the thyroid is actually a little gland. It sits at the base of the neck, just in front of the breathing pipe, which we call the trachea. Mm-hmm. It's part of the endocrine system, which means it produces hormones, and it has very important functions in basically everything: metabolism, growth, development. It has a role to play in your tissue function, sexual function, reproduction, even sleep, and even our mood.
Wow.
The thyroid is very small, but it's an extremely crucial gland, and it has direct or indirect influence on various functions in the body, like even your temperature regulation, your digestive system, and especially in children, it plays an important role in mental development.
Okay, so it's really important to keep it in good working order then. But Fatima, things go wrong from time to time in many different ways. You get overactive thyroids, you get underactive thyroids, you get thyroid cancer in some cases. Let's start with the question of when you know something is wrong. What are some of the signs that it isn't functioning as it should?
So it depends on exactly as you said, if it's over-functioning or under-functioning. They have different side effect profiles. Okay. And I think the simple way for lay people to understand it would be like the hyper-functioning thyroid is, or over-functioning thyroid is, like you've had too much coffee, you've had mm-hmm. way too much caffeine in your body. So for example, you'll get a tremor, you'll have a heat intolerance, a patient may have a tachycardia, palpitations. Tachycardia is when your heart beats very, very fast.
Yeah.
And hair becomes quite brittle, and you have hair falling out, skin becomes quite dry. Those are some of the signs of hyperfunctioning thyroid. Whereas if you have a hypofunctioning thyroid, it's exactly the opposite. So you have a lot of body pains, weakness, fatigue is actually generally very pronounced.
Right.
Your heart rate slows down, exercise becomes difficult, and people say you have cold intolerance, where you can't tolerate the cold very well. But now when it comes to thyroid cancer, majority of thyroid cancers are actually asymptomatic, and they may just actually present with an enlarging mass in the neck.
Okay.
So it is quite difficult. But if there is something happening, as in difficulty swallowing or enlargement of a mass, or you're seeing something growing in the front of the neck, or you're experiencing pain when swallowing, or difficulty swallowing, difficulty breathing at night, those are things that you should probably go to your doctor with and have it checked out.
Okay, so not symptoms to be ignored. Thanks for the reminder there. I mean, Fatima, what causes the thyroid to go wrong? I mean, do we know, are there attributable causes to either hypo or hyperthyroidism?
So there are. Genetic factors do play a role. So family history of, for example, Graves' disease, or, for example, Hashimoto's disease. Mm-hmm. Those generally tend to run in families and I would say kind of inheritable. And same with thyroid cancers. Some of them are genetically inherited. So exactly like medullary thyroid cancer is a very, very good example of that. Mm-hmm. And then there are other things that play a role. Childhood, having radiation therapy to the neck and chest area for perhaps lymphoma,
mm-hmm.
working in industries that are textile industries or rubber-producing industries, tire-producing industries, paint-producing industries can increase your risk of getting thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually just being a woman. It's the estrogen stimulation. So a lot of thyroid disease tends to affect women far more frequently than it does men.
Okay.
Almost four times more frequently diagnosed in women than it does than it is diagnosed in men, whether that be thyroid cancer or hyper or even hypothyroidism. It's actually very, very, it's the female predisposition. Mm.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Thank you very much. We've already got our first voice note in from a listener. Just to remind everybody, if you want to ask a question, the WhatsApp line is 0725671567. Please do bear in mind, obviously, the doctor can't diagnose or treat an individual complaint over the air, but we are very happy to take more general questions that have generalized answers that are of benefit to anybody. Let's take a listen to the first one.
Good afternoon, Pippa and Doctor. It's Jill from Glencairn. I would just like to ask, I had a thyroidectomy in 2014 because I had Hashimoto's, well, I have Hashimoto's disease, and it was causing massive issues and was involving the jugular and the carotid, and I had to have it out. And since that time, I have battled nonstop with hypothyroidism symptoms, even though my T3 and T4 levels are always high, my TSH levels are very low. So I really would like to know, what can I do to help start stabilizing these levels? And is there any food? I mean, my meds are corrected constantly. They're never stable, and I'm up and down all the time, and it's just such a nuisance. And as you know, the hypothyroidism symptoms are not pleasant to live with. I'd appreciate any kind of advice. Thank you so much.
Jill, thanks for that. So Fatima, a couple of things to pick up on before you specifically answer Jill. Can you just explain a little bit? She's mentioned terms like T3, T4 and TSH. For those who don't know, can you just briefly explain what those are, please?
So those are all actually, those are blood tests, okay, that we check levels of thyroid hormone. So the T3 and T4 levels are actually the actual levels of your thyroid, triiodothyronine, mm-hmm, 4 and that and 3 and thyroxine, and then obviously there is the TSH, which is your thyroid thyroglobulin stimulating hormone. The thyroid stimulating hormone.
Yeah.
Now the TSH is produced by the brain, and it stimulates the thyroid gland to produce T3 or T4.
Right.
Now, TSH from the pituitary gland, the levels that it produces, or the amount of TSH that is produced, is actually it works in a kind of a cycle. It is also dependent on how much T3 and T4 are there. So if there's like in the patient that just gave a call now, if the T3 and T4 levels, the amount of thyroid hormone that is in the body, is quite high, then the brain will not produce a lot of TSH because it doesn't want to overstimulate the thyroid gland. So that's right. Why her TSH level is so low. So if I had to take that purely, and obviously I don't have the full picture in front of me, she's got an excess. She's being over supplemented by with thyroid hormone. So we give, after a total thyroidectomy, meaning once the whole thyroid has been removed for diseases like, for example, Hashimoto's or for thyroid cancer, there's nothing there to produce thyroid hormone. So in order to replace that, we have to give the thyroid hormone. And this comes in the form of a drug called Altroxin.
Yeah.
There are different formulations and different generics on the market. But in general, we give Altroxin. Now, Altroxin, it replaces the T4 and T3, and the same stimulus still happens. The brain picks up the levels of Altroxin, and then it doesn't stimulate the thyroid gland to produce any more thyroid hormone. Obviously, there is no thyroid there in her case, so she will not be able to produce it in any case. It's very difficult. I must just say, in some patients, it can be extremely difficult to get correct levels of the right level of the Altroxin to reach, that sweet spot where that is the dose that you're going to give, and that's the right amount for that patient all the time. And it sounds like she happens to be one of those those cases.
Sorry, Jill.
There are things that we can do. We can supplement tetroxin and decrease the doses of L-troxin. Tetroxin replaces T3, which is the active form of L-troxin, but obviously we don't give that very frequently because it has other side effects.
Okay.
So she needs, unfortunately, her endocrinologist, whoever's looking after her, will have to do the bloods and play around with it until he or she reaches that sweet spot.
Okay, so back to the endocrinologist it is. Thank you very much for that advice and good luck to you, Jill. Somebody asking on our WhatsApp line, Doctor, what age thyroid problems typically present at?
It depends. Thyroid problems can actually occur as young as 3 years old.
Gosh.
Even actually in utero before. So if your mom, for example, has hypothyroidism and not taking a thyroid medication, the baby is then obviously not getting enough, is dependent. The growing baby in utero is dependent on that thyroid hormone that is being produced by the mother. And in that scenario, the baby actually may not produce or may not develop their thyroid appropriately. Their brain development may be stunted, etc. So thyroid problems can start already in utero and are highly dependent on the maternal thing. If you're talking about a person themselves developing thyroid problems, medullary thyroid carcinoma or cancer, specifically if you have the MEN2A or MEN2A syndrome, it can actually occur as young as 3 years old. You can develop medullary thyroid cancer, so it can happen very early. Majority of cases of hyper and hypothyroidism generally start after 12, and according to the American Thyroid Association guidelines, they say approximately 12% of the population over 12 have some sort of thyroid related issue.
So should we all be having our thyroid levels checked on a regular basis? Or Fatima, is it a good idea to start doing it when you reach a certain age?
No. I think it is... I think if you have a genetic predisposition and you have, you should be vigilant about it. So, for example, the lovely lady that called in a little earlier with the Hashimoto's, her family, her kids should be probably aware that mom had Hashimoto's, and therefore, if they develop thyroid symptoms or symptoms as the ones that I mentioned a little earlier, they should go to see the endocrinologist early or their GP or whoever as soon as possible, because thyroid disease is actually extremely treatable, and the earlier you diagnose it, the better the treatment and the earlier you can intervene, especially in the cases of thyroid cancer.
Thank you for that. The million-dollar question, does the thyroid affect your weight? Fatima, I know many women in particular listening to hear this answer.
Yes, absolutely. Thyroid hormones definitely influence your weight. Hyperthyroidism helps you lose weight. Don't wish it on your best friend, though. And hypothyroidism makes you gain weight. And the simple thing there is it's about your metabolism.
Yeah.
The thyroid hormone is very intricately linked with metabolism. So if you hyperthyroidism mimics a hypermetabolic state, so increased activity of bowel, of everything, all your all systems, from your brain right down to your skin, and that includes your bowel, for example. And obviously, if you increase digestion or the rate of digestion, there's less absorption. Less absorption means less weight gain, and the exact opposite for hypothyroidism. It slows down everything, so people tend to gain weight. Now, the problem with hypothyroidism is they also tend to, if it gets quite severe, they can develop other problems like thyroid myxedema, which is like a kind of fluid. They kind of keep back fluid, which gives them also the impression that they are gaining weight as well. But
okay. All right. Thank you for that. Right. Graham, an interesting question on the WhatsApp line. He says, I'm a type 1 diabetic and have hyperthyroidism. How would the removal of the thyroid potentially affect the diabetes?
Ooh, that is an interesting question. Not much, I would say. It wouldn't affect the diabetes that much.
Yeah.
But definitely it would, no, actually, yeah, Amand, yeah, it wouldn't affect the diabetes that much, but those diseases we would treat independently of each other.
Okay.
So if you have hyperthyroidism and need treatment for the hyperthyroidism, it will have other effects on your body and should not be left untreated just because of the diabetes or the type 1 diabetes. It can aggravate other problems that are related to the diabetes and therefore should definitely be treated.
Okay, thank you. One final question before you're out of time, Fatima. Let's talk about positives. What can we do proactively to support good thyroid health? Are there good lifestyle factors that are at play here? Are there dietary factors we should consider if we want to avoid having any sort of thyroid problem later on? Is there anything we can do?
In certain regards, yes. Definitely healthy lifestyle, exercise, keep your weight at a good level, eat healthy. I like to tell the patients, don't tell them what to eat, what not to eat. I tell them, you already know what you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating. And obviously, if you know that something is not good for you, then you probably shouldn't be eating it. So dietary factors, definitely exercise, don't smoke. You can't change your genetic factors. You unfortunately cannot change the fact that you were born a female or a male. Those things are unfortunately not alterable, and unfortunately weigh a lot more in terms of risk factors as far as thyroid disease is concerned, sadly. So yeah, there is stuff that you can do, but not that
not
much.
All of it. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Thank you so much. You've been so helpful, Doctor, and explained everything so well in layman's terms. We really appreciate your time this afternoon.
You're most welcome. Thank you very much to everyone for listening.
Thank you. Keep well. Dr. Fatima Hussain, who is a specialist surgeon with a particular interest in thyroid health. And last word goes to Cheryl. This is a very interesting comment. Cheryl tells me, my daughter was diagnosed in grade 11 with hypothyroidism. It also manifested with low blood pressure in her case, but it was an alert GP who noticed her bluish coloured nail beds and asked if she was cold often. That was what alerted them to test her, which then confirmed the diagnosis. Cheryl, thank you for that tip, and well done to the smart GP who spotted the symptoms and got her a diagnosis early on. I hope that's enabled effective treatment for her, and good luck to both of you.